Welcome back to Highly Respected. I'm your host, Scott Greer. Today we are joined by the foremost expert on American politics. No, it's not Nate Silver, and it ain't Frank Luntz. It's actually Blep Sama, all the way from Finland, joining with us today. Blep, how are you doing?
Hello, hello. Thanks for the introduction, Scott. I'm doing great. I'm sitting here in complete darkness because it's 6 p.m., so we're well past sunset hours where I'm at, sipping some wine, having a good time, ready to talk about my favorite subject, which I know incredibly much about. I'd even go so far as to denote myself an expert on the subject, which is, of course, the American election.
That's true. And you're sipping wine, so you're going awful mode. I love wine. I'm a wino. Wow. So maybe all Finnish men are just like affluent white female liberals. We think about that. And you're ruled by awfuls as well.
I think about
your whole government.
I am a Roman. I am reclining right now to the left. I've got some olive branches here on my, what are they called, on my head. I'm in a toga, sipping wine. You know, this
a laurel
is
wreath.
Yes, exactly. I'm having a good time here. I'm really relaxed. I'm like, my mind is focused and all over the place at the same time. I'm just in the right mood for banter.
Okay, well, you need to be focused for this topic. Now, Blep has some very unique credentials for speaking about American politics. He has never stepped foot on American soil, and he plans on never doing so in his life. He's tweeted about this several times, that he never wants to step foot in America. So, Blep, why are you so confident that Donald Trump will win the election?
Well, firstly, it's because I don't follow American news. That's what makes me so confident, is because the entire media establishment is just a cabal of these neurotic leftists who twist and turn and lie and manipulate the media and the people. So I don't know why they expose themselves to this garbage and consume whatever headlines it is that I don't know, whatever the equivalent to the BBC is in America, and just read this garbage and get blackpilled. And it's like, oh, it's over. Trump failed to bring jobs to the Rust Belt, and Trump said this, and he's failed to deliver that. It's like, I don't care. I don't care. These Trump supporters, what I've seen from them, very, very, you know, they, how should I say, like quasi-religious people. You know, I would denote the QAnon stuff, which we talked about last time I was on. That's like a very reminiscent of a Protestant awakening religious movement. You know, it's very, you know, high trust. They put blind faith in Trump, and they'll just vote for him no matter what. He's high energy. He gets the crowds going. Everyone's excited. The Democrats are demoralized. They are broken. They have nothing going for them. They've shot themselves in the foot. They've got none of that youth. The biggest strength the Democrats could possibly bring is all those young leftists on their side who have nothing better to do with their time and lives than to work like tinkering neurotic little zombies and gnawing and constantly reminding you to vote and vote and shame and talk and post on social media and canvassing and all that bullshit, because he's pushed away these young idealistic voters, especially the Bernie bros. He's blackpilled them. He's thrown them to the side. They're all checked out. It's a very boring election for everyone except boomers, the Hispanics, the Latinos for Trump, you know, the people who are not very high information voters, who are just voting for their messiah, the crazy Trump. He's a rock star. You know, this guy's still having his rallies, with coming down in a helicopter with the music. His Twitter's been on fire. Everything I see, I'm looking at not at the polls, like Nate Silver, who gets elections wrong, who doesn't know how to predict the future. I'm looking at the things that can't predict the future, which is things like a guy who told me he went on a drive in Pennsylvania and he only saw Trump signs. That's the kind of news I'm looking for. Or the bakery that successfully...
The bakery polls, they're very important. Like yesterday, Trump crushed Biden in a Pennsylvania cookie poll. He got well over 19,000 cookie votes, while Biden got a pathetic 3,000 cookie votes. And I don't know what more evidence you need that Trump's going to win Pennsylvania.
I mean, unironically, yes, that is absolutely what I believe. And this is, it's stuff like this that I base my opinion on. And I see it already as a foregone conclusion that Trump will win. Now, how many states he'll win, I can't say. I know that he'll most likely win all of the same states he won in 2016, most likely. And he might even win a few more, but I'm not 100% sure of that. The only thing I'm 100% sure of is that he is going to win. The early voting so far has been very indicative of that. Big white pill for me. And it's good that Trump wins, really. It's much better than Biden winning, because it somebody always has to be the Hitler, be the big bad guy that all the essentially like somebody has to be the big boogeyman for the left that they can concentrate all their hate on. It's good that it's a guy that's actually in charge for once and not someone on the sidelines that doesn't have real power like Richard Spencer or some other nobody. It's indicative that, you know, they can feel like they're on the outside of politics looking in, where Trump, you know, the bad guy's there now. They're not ruling, or they're at least keeping things in check, getting that awful, awful critical race theory out of schools, out of universities. No more of that crap.
Absolutely. And you're right about the enthusiasm gap. I mean, he's flying down on these helicopters, and there's thousands of people, and they're going crazy. They're getting hyped up on the music. And Trump is out there dancing to... you know, the Village People music and That's YMCA so and Macho Man. And he's out there and he's like, everyone's excited. And when you see the Biden crowds, it's 20 people who are sitting in their little seat in their plastic fold out chairs. And they're in their little circle, their mandatory circle. And they sit there and they have a golf clap as Biden appears, or worse, if Obama appears, because Obama was treated as this great messiah. And now he's talking to, you know, crowds of 40 bored people who are sitting there masked up outside. And they're assigned seat, assigned circle, sitting down the whole time, giving golf claps. And this is the energy. There is zero energy at Biden rallies. And this is even funny.
No person who is excited about voting for Joe Biden. Everybody who's doing it is doing it out of pure spite. And when spite for Trump. And it's like, like they're resigned. Like, it's the best we can do. You have to vote blue whether you like it or not. This is a losing attitude. This is the attitude of people who are going to lose when it comes to brass tacks. This is an election day. These guys are going to get absolutely, you know, Trump's going to wipe the floor with these people. You know, you might see some crazy states flip red that you wouldn't have imagined ever going red. States like, I don't know, like Maine, New Hampshire, like even the
bolder, the
craziest people are going. Like, maybe New Mexico. New Mexico might go red. I don't know.
We'll put the hammer down. New Mexico is not likely to go red. Neither is Maine. And New Hampshire. I need to find what in America we call it New Hampshire. But
But luckily,
this is how you know that Blep is an American election expert, by how he pronounces state names.
Yes.
What are some other states that you would like to pronounce on highly respect?
I don't know. I know that I used to, because most of the, you know, I've never been in America. So I've learned all the place names in America by reading them.
Yeah.
And, you know, never hearing them. Nobody talks about these places like New Hampshire. So I thought it was pronounced Plymouth, because I'd never heard anyone say it. It's like Plymouth, Plymouth. That doesn't make any sense, but okay, I'll
roll with it. It's 400 years since Plymouth Rock, so it's you need to learn how to pronounce it correctly for its 400th anniversary.
But I'll go with Plymouth because it sounds better, but I'll also stick with New Hampshire because it sounds better to me than New Hampshire.
Well, there's a lot of states we have it. It's like Arkansas, which you would probably pronounce as Arkansas if you didn't know. But it's actually, there's like laws in Arkansas, like outlawing calling it Arkansas. They really, really don't like it. Yeah, and it's also in Missouri, and a lot of people in Missouri call Missouri Missouri. And the way you pronounce Nevada is depends on where you are from the state. I think the people there pronounce it as Nevada, but then everyone outside calls it Nevada, or maybe it's the other. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct. And people from the state always get mad about pronunciation. It's the same with like New Orleans. Like people outside of New Orleans call it New Orleans, and people from there are like, no, we call it New Orleans. They don't even say New Orleans. They say New Orleans because they want to sound like they're black locals. But there's these things with it. We're not gonna hold it against you that you called it New Hampshire. Now that makes it sound cooler. You know, it's where the hobbits are. That's where the resistance is building up against the globalists, is in New Hampshire. So we like that pronunciation. But you know, moving on to my own projections for the result on November 3rd, is I released it this week, even though I have been included on this infamous list that we cannot talk about. It's created by a certain person, a power behind the throne. A sinister German who we cannot name, who's just on his keyboard, issuing threats. You know, that they will be on the list if they doubt that Trump will win. And generally, the people who are put on this list are ones who say, I don't think Hawaii is going to go red. And he's like, mine, you are on the list. And so several people are. I've also, you and this other person who we shall not name, have accused me of wearing socks on my hands. If I ever doubt the results of a certain state, why am I wearing socks on my hands? You know, I don't know.
It's a European saying. I'm not going to explain it any further. You should know this. But for real, a lot of really socks on hands types of comments have been coming from you, where you're saying, like, oh, I'm not sure if Iowa will really go red.
I have never said that about Iowa.
Maybe, you know, I'm not really sure here about Wyoming, guys. You know,
I have never said Wyoming. You are accusing me of things I have not said. You are accusing me of another highly respected, very insecure, very doubting.
And we've been in the group chat trying to console you and trying to reassure a very, very upset.
I don't think consoling or reassuring is the correct term. I think it's just attacks and belittling and strawmanning of me. Meanwhile, there is somebody in this chat who we will not name who will actually say, like, I don't think Trump's going to win Alabama, or I think he's going to lose the white vote. And you're all like, oh, he's off the list. He's not wearing socks on his hands.
There's one real socks on hands guy who's going to be living in, probably in Colombia after this election, because he's going to lose, what was it he betted? 1,500, 15,000, I don't know how many dollars.
Yeah, it's like 1,500 on Biden winning. And there's a lot of people I think are so committed to Biden winning because they bet on him. So they now have a financial interest in betting on him, even though they would want Trump to win. That's why. But, you know, enough of the digressions on that. I want to talk about my elite election projection, which some people, you know, there's a little bit of controversy over it. I gave Minnesota to Trump, but I gave Wisconsin and Michigan, both states that Trump won in 2016, to Biden. I also gave Nevada to Trump, which Hillary Clinton won in 2016, but it's roughly similar. Pretty much outside of those changes, about the same as it was in 2016. I think the final election total is 296. I'm pretty confident in that Trump will win. In general, in the electoral vote. But if there's like a lot of states, if you look at Nate Silver's model, I haven't checked it recently, but I looked at it last week, and it has Trump winning only 125 electoral college votes.
He's saying North Carolina and Arizona,
Georgia, Florida, Texas, Ohio, and Iowa. All those states are going Trump, probably also Arizona. So that's like the base. I think that's like around 260 electoral college votes that pretty much is likely to go to Trump. But they're giving it like 125. There was a ridiculous election projection map put out by David Frum where it has Biden winning Montana. Which is no way on earth that Biden is going to win Montana.
It also tells you something about the polls, right? It tells you about like how off their rockers they are at whatever institute they're churning out these bonkers results from. You know, it's just, I think that you'd have about as big an accuracy. You know, those articles that came out in like 2018, 17, talking about how, oh, historically speaking, the polls for the 2016 election were on average about as accurate as polls have ever been in America. You know, they're not, you know, a prophecy, but with the statistically, you know, they were as, and they were, you know, you remember how off the chart they were. They weren't really anywhere close to the real election.
Well, they were violent. Like, you would have one poll, even until the final week, there was like polls showing Hillary Clinton double digits ahead. And then there was like a poll showing Trump with like a 2-point lead. There was no middle ground. And thus the average was was a little bit over 3 points. So the final results were a point off from the Real Clear Politics average. But there was all these polls were wildly off, and then there were some polls that were much more accurate, and thus they came to a happy medium that sounded was right. But their polls were also wrong in 2012. The RCP average put Obama and Romney in a dead heat, but then Obama won by 4 points, so it was also wrong in 2012. And it's they've been wrong by 3 or 4 points many times, and in this election. Say the RCP average on Tuesday is roughly 5 or 6 points. Let's say it's off 3 or 4 points with the final results. Trump can still win that. I read a New York Times article the other day where it was saying that if Biden wins the popular vote by only 2 or 3 points, it's most likely that Trump won the Electoral College. And to definitively ensure that Biden wins the election, like the Electoral College and the popular vote, he has to win the popular vote by 6 points. This is what two political scientists wrote in the New York Times. So this is like a serious thing. So if it's like, yeah, the like polls are once again showing with Biden with a 5-point lead and he loses, and he wins the popular vote by 3 or 4 points, but he still loses the Electoral College, then yeah, you could say that. But all these poll shamans are so confident that he's got this in the bag. There's this one guy, Dave Wasserman, who tried to find these tweets where he said, look, I got this in 2016. I knew that there was trouble for Hillary Clinton. He this weekend, or last weekend rather, was saying, I almost want to call this race. I've almost seen enough that this is race is over. And now you're seeing his tweets where he's hedging his bets. He's like, oh, there's thinning going on in these battleground states. And there's these things happening. And it looks like that Trump's going to win Florida. And Nate Silver's also starting to hedge his bets too, even though his election model predicts Trump only winning 125 electoral college votes. So I don't want to necessarily put myself in the level of confidence that Blep Sama and this mysterious shadow German have. But I will say that it's roughly 50-50 shot with Trump. And I think you should believe that Trump's going to win. Power of positive thinking. I talked about this on one of my recent podcasts. If you think it's going to happen, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's because it got stolen from him. And that's how you have to think about this. And it's more fun to think he's going to win. Like, you're just making yourself miserable by being like, oh no, this poll shows I'm getting blown out. Republicans are going to be dead forever. We're going to have mass amnesty and this country's over. I'm just going to cry. But due to me saying that Trump is going to lose, you're going to think I was a psychic and people will compliment me. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. Just think that Trump's going to win. And it's much more positive thinking. It's much more fun. Everyone's having fun with like memeing that Trump's going to win. And even if he loses, you got to move on and you accept that situation. But you don't need to make yourself miserable before the election and depressed.
The lesson to take away from this is that who did we see get all the predictions wrong in 2016? Well, we knew that the polls were way off. So the people I see today are throwing around poll numbers. I immediately lose respect for them. It's as if they have amnesia. It's the kind of guys that keep falling for the Paradox game meme, you know, they make terrible games every year, comes out, it's a huge disappointment. And there's like, oh, this one is going to be great. I'm so excited. I'm going to give them my money for this. And I tell them every time it's going to be crap. And they never learn. These dumb lemmings just repeat their same mistake over and over again. This is a very good lesson. Just look who gets it right. Look who gets it wrong. I know the people who kept their heads cool and could accurately predict the election results in 2016, and the people who lost their head and just fell for the memes and were proven wrong and learned nothing and are repeating that same thing in 2020. Just trust the people who have good instincts, people who get it right. And polls, we know, are about as accurate as me looking for signs in my soup over who's going to win Pennsylvania. It's about as
high. They're like pole shamans. They're shaking their stick. They're like, oh, ooga, ooga, booga. Oh, yes. The color pole. This is no margin of error. Ooga, ooga, booga. And they're shaking their sticks, and there's like a drum line, you know, there. And this is like, oh, you can't deny that the pole gods gave us.
And you can see that there's a very strong correlation between how little you live in America, and I mean like how little American media and stuff you consume, and how more certain you are of Trump's re-election. You see this in like all of Latin America and in Europe, like everyone's pretty much sure that Trump is going to be re-elected. It's a foregone conclusion here. Nobody doubts except for the people who are, you know, extremely plugged into the liberal matrix. The people out who, you know, frankly, are a bit of weirdos who listen to these American leftist like news podcasts, these mainstream news podcasts, and MSNBC and what's this called? Trevor CNN. Noah. Trevor Noah and those kinds of people. And they are still, you know, they're under the same illusions that Trump might lose. But anybody else who doesn't consume American media. And a friend of mine told me, you know, it's like America is so big. It's so big with so many people in different areas who are so far removed from each other that nobody has any like shared clear idea of what's going on there. So it's no different from, you know, being in America. You're as isolated from America's happenings as a person on the other side of the world who's looking in with a computer. Like, all you need to do to be an election expert on American politics is, you know, you can be in Botswana with a computer and you just look at the internet and you have as much of a clue as any American.
You can be a literal shaman in Botswana and be more accurate than the pole shamans. Yes. That's you know, that's an interesting take. I may have to agree with that, but I want to say for myself is that I was right about the two past presidential elections. I bet my dad that Obama would beat Romney, won that. And then I, on a Daily Caller live stream right before the election, I predicted that Trump would win in 2016, and I won the Daily Caller office pool on how many electoral votes, on how the Electoral College would look on election night. And I picked Trump winning the most Electoral College votes of anyone in the office, and of course I won. So most of the office didn't predict Trump would win. But so I guess maybe my instincts are good. I could still be wrong, but have the power of positive thinking. Think he's going to win. Be optimistic, enjoy the moment, and, you know, whatever happens on November 3rd, you weren't a miserable prick in the least leading up to it, and no one is going to compliment you afterwards, even if you were right. But that's the last moment. I want to talk about election projections. Now moving on to two big stories that could impact the election. Of course, talking about the Hunter Biden laptop and the riots. There are new revelations stating that Joe Biden likely was aware of his son's influence peddling and encouraged it. There's also a new recording of Hunter saying he was doing business deals with the spy master of China, or the spy chief of China. Yet most of the MAGA media focus is on Hunter's dick pics and him banging prostitutes. You shared a tweet with great memes about this focus, and I want to really read some of the ones. There's one with, it's a MAGA soy jack, and he's mouth agape, and he's showing his phone, and the phone is newest Biden photo leaked, and it's a cartoon drawing of the Skittles on Hunter Biden's penis that he sent to some woman, and it's like photo source some Chinese guy. And the guy's like, "Hey, undecided voter, look at these photos of Hunter Biden's penis. I have more pics of him having sex with adult women. Disgusting, right? Please vote for Trump." There's another one where it's a Chinese guy. I think it's Guo. We will release new Hunter Biden cock photos every hour for 13 days. And it's a bunch of MAGA soy boys with gay pride shirts saying, "This is the bomb show we needed to win. More cock based." And then there's a Pepe, Steve Bannon, and an Asian soy jack in the background. And then this is the really good one. It's a 4chan post, and it's B Hunter. That's the title. And it's Rich. Handsome, 6'2", 8x6 monster cock, can get a job anywhere he wants, travels the world, 5 white kids, has fucked the tightest, best pussy he can find in every major city on planet Earth. What the fuck were these leaks supposed to do? Make Trump supporters commit suicide?
So good.
This is very much like how we're seeing with Hunter Biden. It's like new breaking news story. And it's like Hunter in a threesome with like two Asian prostitutes. And it's like unnamed on them. And it's like, I'm not sure what the news angle is here. It's funny content, but I'm not sure any voters are going to be like, "Wow, I can't believe that Joe Biden's kid fucks. I'm not voting for him."
I've seen such crazy people, takes from people with undiagnosed schizophrenia with these long texts like, Biden was actually the puppet master who put his front man Obama in, you know, he got Obama elected so he could run the show. And this is like, he's running it like a mafioso clan. And then all these leaks about Hunter, you know, pictures of his penis. And then it's like, we are learning how the swamp operates. A storm is coming.
The swamp operates. Like, here's the Skittles map.
Oh,
this stuff, I mean, it's in some ways it's revenge porn, but I mean, Hunter, it's like, why is he posting all this shit and saving it on his hard drive? There's a lot of weird things about Hunter. There is like a real news story there with like his connections with China, the influence peddling. I mean, he's clearly, Joe knew what he was doing, and he was getting all these jobs due to being Joe Biden's son. And there's clear conflicts of interest here. And this was any other candidate, we would be talking about the massive corruption going on in the Biden family. And also how the family is so screwed up that this negates, you know, Biden's image as like the real family man who's going to restore decency and civility. And look at how great his family is. And then like Hunter is like, what is he? He's like a 50-year-old dad of 5, just like sending dick pics to half the world. And it's like, what are you doing, man? It reminds me.
I don't understand the obsession about these revelations, because frankly, I don't care. I already knew that, or I got the memo that the people who rule over America are pedos or into a lot of weird sex and are probably very, very, you know, corrupt. This is nothing new to me. And then there's these people, mostly on 4chan poll, who are sharing these leaks and looking at the pictures and trying to cross-reference, like, does this Asian hooker kind of like sort of look like this niece? Maybe this is proof that he killed his brother. And it's like,
there was a story about their Obama's dog was in the middle of his threesome with Asian prostitutes, and somehow this is an important fact. It's like, why would Obama's dog be there? Like, what? And why is this important? Like, what's the Obama? Like, Obama's actually the background behind the mirror. Is like, keep it up, Hunter, looking good. You know,
this is such
keep them both satisfied. You know what? What is
already such a partisan election that none of these leaks make any different. For like all of the leftists, they don't even hear about these news. All the moderates, like, none of them are really swinged by these revelations. Like, oh, he's a sex pest. Oh, he might even be a pedophile. Like, who cares? He's, you know, he's a corrupt rich guy's son with unlimited money. Of course he is. And then so what you're left with, it's just about a bunch of guys on the right who are in a big circle jerk sharing pictures of a 50-year-old man's penis amongst each other. Look at this! it's actually probably like the best troll I've ever seen on like trolling Trump supporters. It's like I've been staying away from 4chan for this reason during this election season, just because it's just, you know, a bunch of naked pictures of a man. If I'd want to see that, I'd just go to like the public swimming pool and sit in the sauna, you know, if I want to see, you know, naked men.
I guess that's how they do it in Finland. You know, we're not all going to the sauna and seeing naked men here in very heterosexual America. But
No, I'm not going to let that slide, Scott. I've been meaning to talk to you about this. See, this is a weird thing I've been noticing with a lot of my European friends, is how Americans, they cannot see a naked person without sexualizing it. In Finland, or mostly in Scandinavia, and most of Europe, you know, people can be... you know, naked in the, for everywhere from the military in the showers to in a public shower or
in a public shopping mall. You know, they're just going.
But you know, it's something that has always struck me as weird is this Anglo-Saxon, or should I say, just American mindset, is that
it's mostly American.
Yeah, it's like, and a guy sees another man's penis, and he's like, oh, gay sex! Oh, I can't think. No,
unless it's for news story. Unless it's a Hunter Biden link, that is perfectly straight.
Suddenly, wait, I like this. Suddenly, now it's been okay. It's become, you know, the new normal that now it's for political purposes. Now it's for activism.
Yeah, nudism has never been an American thing. Some people want to be like, it's the Puritanism. It's just, I mean, low church Protestants were never into it. We once had
like with our in our university, we had the you know, we went swimming, and afterwards we went to sauna, and they were like completely outraged, these Texan boys that we were visiting in Finland, that we you know, went into the sauna naked. We didn't have towels and everything because it's, you know, it's tradition. And then it's like one guy was so shocked, you know, we just asked him, do you feel like going to sauna? It's like this look on his face, we've never seen, like he was like mortified, and he said, no, I'm sorry, I'm Christian, I can't. And he just ran away. Like he did a 180 on the spot and ran away.
That's how we supported. They're trying to be corrupted by European nudists. We're not going to allow that to seep into our culture.
And I've never, like, I didn't even know that Christianity had something to do with going to the sauna and like cracking open a beer and just chilling. But so suddenly... it's something so alien to me that immediately, like, it becomes sexual to them. That's just, you know, for us, it's, you know, just, you know, it's no big deal being, you know, in a sauna. But I don't know.
You're naked, growing out with your boys in the sauna. Just cold beer, hot sauna, no mm-hmm. clothes, just this is Europeans rocking out. Okay, you know, you guys can accept that, but we will never tolerate that in America. We will not. We will die before we accept broing out nude with your boys in cold beer in a sauna. That will never happen in our country.
It always comes.
I don't care how much you try to impose
insecurity. You know, as a, you know, you can't really. You have something to hide. You're like a little girl.
No, literally, I don't want to see my best friend's penis.
It is kind of like that, you know. It's a bit of you know, little girl culture, you know. At least to us, that's how it comes across. But hey,
well, you know, there was somebody who didn't have this. That was similar to Hunter Biden. I think of this as story that, in a lot of ways, that it's a repeat of 2016. Is that Anthony Weiner's laptop also had an impact or became a major story in the 2016 election? And of course, Anthony Weiner was another person who liked sending dick pics to half the world, and due to his actions, he was like sexting with a minor. That led to the FBI reopening its investigation into Hillary Clinton because there was emails coming out of that. And once again, these hilarious sex pests who are an endless fountain of content could end up impacting American history, in that, you know, Anthony Weiner in his own way helped Trump win, and possibly Hunter Biden, another who's even far more hilarious than Anthony Weiner. And I think in some ways much more, there's a little bit more of a degree you can respect that. Like, you know what? He just wants to smoke meth or crack and, you know, go around the world and hang out with every prostitute he can. And, you know, he has got like five kids that he knows of. And, you know, there's a little bit of respectful. I mean, Anthony Weiner was much more disgusting and I think vile, but it's once again that the election hinges on a sex fest related to the Democratic presidential candidate. With Anthony Weiner, he was married to Hillary Clinton's main advisor. And of course, Hunter Biden is Joe Biden's kid. So we'll have to see if this once again plays out. I think there's a lot of similarities going on with 2016. And with that, and also in 2016, a lot of people didn't realize this, is but there were a lot of riots going on then, not necessarily to the scale and extent that we're seeing now, but those also had an effect to help Trump. And right a week before, in a battleground state, Philadelphia is rioting. Philly blacks are rioting over police shooting a violent felon who charged at them with a knife on Monday. There have been 2 days of rioting and looting in Philadelphia over the future rocket scientist's untimely death. And they have on video this guy threatening, and they had been called 3 times on this guy having an episode. And he has got a whole history of violence. You know, he's been threatening people with firearms and et cetera. And he charged at police and they killed him. So do you think the riots will secure Pennsylvania for Trump? I think you already think that Pennsylvania will go for Trump. But do you think this is the real key that will put Trump over the edge?
Well, as with all things, I think it's in such a highly partisan election. It was already a foregone conclusion. I don't believe in this myth, at least in this sort of election climate, that there are people like on the fence, wondering who they'll vote for. Like, most people's minds were made up months ago, if not years ago, who they're going to vote for. There's the exceptional cases of people who are just making up their minds as we speak, but generally, like, the results of the states have been the same for a long time already. And I think definitely the riots, they help Trump. Because nobody wants this. Nobody likes this. I don't believe in this idea of a front lash. Is that what they're calling it? A front lash.
Become
more sympathetic towards the side that's, you know, exhibiting more violent behavior. It's like you saw how the Democrats pulled back on the riots, how they pulled the plug on that. They started signaling no more of this after the polls came out that people were wildly against this.
And that happened in Kenosha. It was a difference. I would say there was a front lash effect in late May and June to some extent, but the more that they continued, and I think that people in the suburbs were seeing the effects that these riots had, of that it would just turn their cities into crime-ridden hellholes, as we were seeing in Minneapolis when they defunded the police. They're like, oh shit, this is actually not good. And they continue doing this.
It's not really a front lash then, is it? You know, a front lash would be that the one side is extremely violent. They're rioting. They're, you know, punching through windows and looting dollar stores and whatnot. And then people say, "Oh, okay, I give up. You win. We'll vote blue." It's like that. That would be the front lash effect. But what we saw is that people were highly sympathetic to a victim narrative of evil cop kneeling on the throat of an innocent black man. That was the narrative that most people were fed. And what we saw was an outpouring of sympathy for the story as it was presented to them. And that's understandable. But after more facts came out, there was the autopsy. We got to learn a little bit more about what was going on around the event. And we saw the terrible riots and the destroyed areas and the chaos that it brought. And that's where you see the natural reaction towards it, which is people saying, like, no more of this. This is bad. Who are we going to vote for? Law and order, President. That's the good thing about Trump, is that he makes his message extremely simple for a nation who reads at a fourth grade reading level, is that it's just two words, law and order. You know, jobs and stuff.
I think
like
that's three words, Blep.
No, he does the and symbol, so it's two.
just you've seen the tweet. Yeah, like no. The TV show.
Yes, exactly.
Well, tweet. But it is, I think there is a point that like people are just giving up on this, and they're seeing that blacks will riot over any cause. I mean, even in what happened in Kenosha, the suspect who was shot was acting violently. He was going to grab his knife, and he had a long criminal record. And even though people are like, oh, he got shot 6 or 7 times in the back, that's terrible. How could someone do that? I think when they were seeing that they were burning down like auto stores and people who had nothing to do with the police, they're like, this is a little bit too much to handle. And they're now seeing that blacks will riot over anyone killed, no matter the reason, that they'll just like riot. We saw this in Chicago where a police officer shot a man who was pointing a gun. Then it was spread in among blacks that they shot an innocent 14-year-old who was unarmed when the guy had been pointing a gun at the officer before he was shot. And then they went and looted in Chicago. There's a story just this week in San Bernardino where a guy was the police were called on because he kept threatening people who were outside a liquor store with a gun. And then the officer fought with him and scuffled. And during the scuffle, the guy pulled out his gun and was about to point it at the officer before he was killed. And now we're seeing this going on in Philadelphia where a violent felon was threatening the public and officers and charged at them with a knife. And now this is a reason to loot and destroy. And it also, what we're seeing in Philadelphia is that this is definitely not white Antifa. There's a big difference between when you see Antifa rioting versus local black rioting. And I've talked about this previously in episodes, is the Antifa always challenge police. They're looking at city institutions. They're trying to burn down police stations, going after statues, and even more targeting, and specifically targeting areas that they think are elements of the white power structure. Meanwhile, when blacks riot, they just go and go to the Walmart and loot and target, or they go to Target and they just steal stuff. And what you're seeing is they're like stealing flat screen TVs. They're going to Foot Locker and stealing shoes, as if this is just an excuse to go get free shit. Yes. And it's something very different. They're not really fighting with officers. I mean, there were elements where they were throwing objects at officers, but that's not the primary motive. The primary motive for these people is just to go out and loot and get free stuff and bring it back. And you never really see the mass looting that happened in the later days of Minneapolis, even though there were cases of serious looting at first. But once white Antifa took it over, they were directing it towards a police station and elements of authority. And even in Portland is the number one example. I mean, they're not looting Foot Locker in Portland or Seattle. They're going and trying to firebomb the federal courthouse. So there's like a big difference there. And I've seen there will probably be some conservatives like, once again, rich white Antifa are looting Walmart. And there's the only white people there are the reporters who are getting beat up. There was a conservative reporter who was beaten up, recording people loot. Which is bound to happen. I mean, when these cases happen, I mean, they don't want people then recording the crimes.
They broadcast themselves for sympathy points. Like, oh, I got an owie ouchie from Antifa. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Why would you post this, dude? Like, why? Just take the L. Don't go out seeking to get beat up. It's a very, like, it's a very female trait, I'd say. To
Yeah, it's
when you're... Always... When your revolt is, you somehow try to subvert your own political activism by putting yourself in dangerous positions where you might get beaten up. You know, if you get beaten up, that's you losing. I don't like losers. I like people who don't get beat up. I like conservatives who don't get punched and whine about it on Twitter. So I don't know why this compulsion to do this all the time.
You have to be, and you have to be definitely smart when you're out there. I remember in 2015 when I was at the Caller, the Daily Caller, and there was two reporters who went out to the Baltimore riots, and they went up close to a guy who was trying to steal an ATM, and then they got both beaten up really bad. One got a concussion, and it's like, yeah, you sometimes need to use, you need to be a little bit wary if you're recording someone committing a crime and they're not Antifa. They're, you know, hood blacks, and they're going to be like, why is this guy recording me? I'm going to go to jail if this is released. So they, of course, are going to react with violence. So they gotta be, you gotta be careful out there. And they're just going after all these businesses. I think one of the more interesting businesses they went after is they went after Chick-fil-A, and Chick-fil-A CEO, who's a conservative, famously said supported Black Lives Matter. Chick-fil-A put out a pro Black Lives Matter statement and how we got to eliminate systemic racism. And then the CEO, when he was on a TV panel or an evangelical TV panel, he got down on his knees and say, I want to apologize. This is what we need to do to apologize for slavery. And he began washing a black guy's shoes. And yet his restaurant is, you know, I guess the locals didn't hear the great news about Chick-fil-A, and they went through, ransacked it, broken windows and everything. So there, it's very interesting what the business of their cause. And a lot of people like to say, oh, well, they have insurance, they can cover this. And even with these national chains, this takes a huge hit to them. You know, they're already struggling during coronavirus, and just having your whole, you know, regional stores just like ransacked and police not doing anything. Yeah, insurance can cover it, but, you know, if those people can know, they can come back and steal more stuff. And if you're a local business, is what was happening in Kenosha and in Minnesota, is that they were primarily targeting local businesses. You know, a lot of them, even if they get the insurance, you know, they can't really restart the business because the neighborhood's destroyed, or they may not have it. Their insurance may not cover the damage. And, you know, they're not a giant corporation. They can't cover the cost. And for a lot of them, and this is going on in Minneapolis, is that a lot of these stores have to agree to stay in Minneapolis before they can get their insurance claim. And they're like, why the hell do I want to stay in an area that's now blighted? I need to go. So they're just ruined no matter what. So there's a lot of these hidden costs of the riots. And I think that what we saw, and to repeat a point, is like what we saw in late May and early June, that there was a degree of what we would say front lash, or it was really American people getting suckered into this victim narrative, is that is declining. And a lot of people in the Philly suburbs are going to see this, and they're automatically going to associate with Biden because they see this as Democratic rule. The Democratic governor called the riots peaceful protests. And Biden came out with a statement like, you know that this hurts his poll numbers when he came out with a statement yesterday. You know, usually they wait a while with like condemning riots and violence. You know, usually they try to pretend it didn't exist, or they blame white supremacists, or they say it was just a peaceful protest. They can't ignore that now. So I think this will help Trump. I think it'll be more consequential than Hunter Biden's dick pics. That might be an unpopular opinion, but I think that's the case. Now, moving on to libs are putting out some incredible ads that are unintentionally encouraging Trump supporters to vote for Trump. Just this last week, there were two unintentionally epic ads released by liberal PACs. The Never Trump Lincoln Project put out an ad where a wine mom consoles her son that Trump won a third term and is now president for life. Another liberal ad depicts a wine mom transporting her pregnant daughter to Canada or another foreign country. It's not made clear in the ad, to get an abortion, but is stopped by the highway thought patrol, and they drag the daughter out. She's like, no, mom. And she's like, no, my daughter. And then the police are like, step outside the vehicle. We know you're trying to get an abortion. Sorry, woman. And so they're arresting women in Trump's second term.
I thought it was illegal to be based and red pilled. Not anymore, sweetie. Not anymore.
That's like every
this is essentially like this takeaway.
Do you think the liberal political advertising could get more insane? As you were saying, they're gonna just like have like an ad where it's like a little child is cowering and they're like a minority child. It's like, mom, the Proud Boys are outside. They're going to kill me. And it's like,
and then it, well, outside,
and then the Proud Boys Proud are like, Boy. Uru, uru. And they're like banging on the door. It's like, no. And then it's like, vote Biden. Don't let this happen to you. And this is what that you're, I hope they make this ad that they like Lincoln Project would definitely make this ad. Every Lincoln Project ad is an unintentional ad for Trump. They'll have like Trump doing an epic return in his helicopter set to the Soviet national anthem. And you're like,
all of these are
like,
so
I'm inspired here. They're like, they've had ads targeting Hispanic voters, saying Trump is a caudillo. And it's like, once again, based, like, I'm trying to think of where the negativity is. And they're generating millions and millions of dollars because their core audience are these liberal wine moms on Twitter that are already voting for Biden. They're not undecided voters. They're just going to this base and they're just eating it up. It'd be like a MAGA pack just making ads entirely about Hunter Biden's penis. And then this is like being targeted. This is to undecided voters. It's like a wine mom consoling her son that, like, don't worry, Hunter will not send you any more pictures. That's like, it's not appealing to the average voter.
Trump will complete German idealism. Trump will make everyone wear uniforms and they'll march with guns on the street and he'll reach for the stars and he will big, beautiful weapons. And you have to stop this madman. It's like they paint such a spectacular, like a bold vision of Trump's America, much more brave than anything Trump would ever dare to put out there. I would say
it's awesome.
These people want to be oppressed so bad, you can tell, especially
They already think they're oppressed. They're like, I'm living in a fascist dictatorship, and I'm scared. There was like some viral tweet where
isn't that just wishful thinking? I'm so oppressed. Like, they want to be oppressed, seemingly. Like, they want police to drag them out because they have this sort of like persecution complex that I'm so just and I'm such a good person, and these evil Trump supporting racists are trying to get me. It's literally like in that movie where abortions are legal. I'm being put in this red dress. What's it called again?
A Handmaid's Tale.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
It's a TV show. They're obsessed with The Handmaid's Tale, and it's now going global. I mean, in Poland, your favorite country, all these women are interrupting mass in Handmaid's costumes because they passed some abortion restrictions and they're blaming the church for it. And so it's now like become a global symbol for awfuls. I think even in Belarus, they're dressing up in Handmaid's costumes at the protest against Lushenko.
Yep.
So yeah, this is like now, but this is like such a crazy hysteria mindset that these advertisers are promoting. And they do this, they want to pretend that they're victims and that they're like under threat, because in American society and throughout Western societies, the victim is at the peak of the social hierarchy, and everyone wants to pretend they're a victim because that affords them moral stature. And this means that they can get benefits. And it's the Black Lives Matter movement is doing this too. It's like they're saying, our lives at risk, and you know, our lives matter more than your insurance. Like, you're worried about property damage. Lives matter more than property damage. They want to imagine that there's some mass genocide against blacks who conducted by the police.
It's a big white man machine that's eating.
Yeah, it's an evil white man machine that's just murdering blacks who are out gardening or something. But that's why they had their knife out. They were cutting their plants. You know, that's what they needed to worry about. But they've all been brainwashed into this. And all these advertisements play into that. And if you look at like the dimwit journalists, like political history, they always have these like moments throughout elections that have mattered. And they'll think about these horrible race baiting ads that Republicans put out. And the three big ones is the 1988 Willie Horton ad, the 1990 ad put out by Jesse Helms, who's a pretty based Republican senator, called the White Hands ad. And then there was this 2006 ad attacking a black Senate candidate in Tennessee, and they claimed there was some racist dog whistling. And when you compare these ads, they're like remarkably tame, and just liberal journalists using their, you know, hidden dog whistle sensors. Like, they see more dog whistles than the ordinary person. They found a racist element. And the Willie Horton ad, you know, a crime was out of control in the 80s. Ordinary people really felt threatened by criminals who would come into their, you know, invade their homes and terrorize them, as happened in Willie Horton. And they wanted to vote against Democrats who were going to coddle criminals and who are going to hurt them in their homes. And that's what happened with Willie Horton. And even the racist element, they're like, well, there was like black prisoners going into jail in the final scene. It's like, those are just the normal prisoners. And even then, like, the assumption is that the Republicans shouldn't even highlight Willie Horton, which, that person, you probably don't know this. I mean, you're probably like, who the fuck is Willie Horton? Who is Michael Dukakis? Michael Dukakis released him, and he went on a furlough, and then he went to Maryland, and he had this horrible home invasion against this white couple, and he terrorized, tortured, and raped them, and they fortunately survived. But the Republicans put out an ad about him, and they've always highlighted this as the ultimate racist dog whistling. And these idiot journalists were like, this is the Willie Horton ad. And then 2 years later, in 1990, Jesse Helms was running against a black candidate, a Senate candidate in North Carolina, and he had an attack ad on affirmative action. And it's like, under this candidate, you're going to lose your job. And it's like white hands were crumpling up a rejection letter. And that they're like, this, oh, this is horrible racism, that this guy is going to hurt white workers, and that this is like some race baiting. And then in 2006, there was this famous ad against Harold Ford, which I lived in Tennessee at the time, and normal Tennesseans didn't see this at like any race baiting. And it was this whole ad about, it was like a cheeky ad about Harold Ford and like all his misdeeds. And he had once partied at a Playboy mansion, and they had a hot blonde who was supposed to be a playmate. And at the end of the ad, she's like, Harold, call me. And they're like, this is race baiting. They're playing on how he's stealing white women from the people. This is like, this is total Southern race baiting. There's a dog whistles, and like the media, there wasn't much for the liberal media to get mad about. And they got very mad about this. And compared to what Trump says on a daily basis, this is like something that people wouldn't even notice. And MSNBC just treated this as like the worst thing that they've seen since George Wallace. And at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. But now when we see the political advertisements put out by liberals, even going back to 2012, where they threatened, said that like Romney and Paul Ryan would kill old people, you know, it's a level of insanity that you're always going to see. But in the history textbooks, if you're ever in like a high school AP government class, you're going to be reading about Willie Horton, the white hands, and probably even the Harold Ford attack ad about how Republicans use race baiting and dog whistles. But you're never going to hear about Handmaid's Tale dog whistling, because actually there was a serious threat that the American white women would be turned into handmaids under Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. And so you have to entertain this hysteria and pretend it's real, and it comes from a real place, and we must respect it.
Somebody should just tell these awfuls that nobody wants to impregnate you. I'm sorry, it's true. Nobody is coming out here. No Chad is out there to put his big 8x6-inch cock in you and forcefully impregnate you against your will. And he's so rough, and he's so dominant, and he's got the power, and he's like, you can't fight back. And he has like, he's so dominant in culture and media. And it's like, oh, and he's just taking you against your, like, this is the fantasy, man. This is just like these women who have no man in their life, who are just fantasizing. This is like Twilight on the political scenery. It's very,
yeah,
very
it, it is, and like, should much always, like 50 Shades always of Grey, but called, it comes into a political hysteria, and they're thinking it's bad. And there was a hilarious tweet when Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed. There was some old liberal who's like, I'm sure she's 50 years old based on her picture. They always try to find a youthful picture that makes them look 30, but you can tell by things that they're old. And this old woman who's got a check mark for some reason, and it was a viral tweet. She's like, I recommend you get an IUD now, because you're going to lose this, right? And then it's all of these women in their 40s and 50s about how they're either bragging they've already got their tubes tied, and or they're like, I am so scared now. And it's like, first off, I think you're past childbearing age, and it seems like you've been pretty successful at avoiding getting pregnant or finding a man. And there were some horrifying responses of like one old woman who said she took her daughters to get this operation, and their teenage daughters are like, what?
Yeah, like,
and there was so much hysteria that they're like, we're going to deny ourselves the ability to have children just so we can protest abortion restrictions.
To own people and get goodie points. See what a good person you are, because you're so deeply concerned about all the bad things that literally Hitler is doing right now in the White House. This is one step before he goes out and pushes the legalize killing all black people button that he has on his desk at all times.
And he separates all Hispanic children and puts them all in cages. This is all going to happen unless the wine ants get IUD operations and they stick it to Trump. And you're exactly right. It's just based on that tweet alone and the replies, and there was like thousands of replies that were all in a similar manner. It was all Spencers who were absolutely worried that now they would have to have children. From what man? No. You know, that's a big question mark. But they're very worried about this, and they're now trying to stock up on birth control pills and get their tubes tied, and maybe this will work. You know, hopefully there's a lot of mental illness out there, and there's a lot of alcoholism rising among the particular what type of women who are gravitating towards this rhetoric. So they need help, and we hope they get it, but they should stop tweeting about it for all the public to see. And that's the last I'll say about that. Now, before we move on to patron questions, Blep says he has his own listener questions for me from Europe, no less. So yes. Blep, why don't you share some of your questions that these Europoors want to ask?
Well, I was discussing, you know, with the Scandinavian panel earlier today, with you know, I was going on the Scottcast, and people were like, "What's that?" And I say it's a podcast called High Respect, and it's very popular amongst, you know, people who are very, you know, knowledgeable about American politics. And I asked them, "What do you want me to talk about?" And people were, you know, they were Googling you because I was introducing you and the podcast to these people, you know, and they were like, it's like "Scott, it's like, what race is this man?" And I said, like, well, I don't really know. And then some said, well, he's American, of course. And then we, you know, we started sharing pictures we found from Google Images in the group chat of you. And then we were trying to pin down your ethnicity. And it was like, and the majority consensus that was that we placed you somewhere in the Balkans, like in around Serbia or Bosnia is what we got. Because to us, Northern Europeans, you look very, you know, very swarthy. You know, with your black hair, and somebody pointed out very accurately. It was actually me who pointed out that the alt-right in America is a very Balkan-centric movement. You know, Painovich, Cernovich. These aren't exactly Anglo-Saxon or Scandinavian surnames, are they? You know, we have, you know, Croatians, we have Serbians, we have Bosnians, we have Albanians. Are very overrepresented in this movement. Hakan very accurately observed this over a year ago. And, you know, I was going to ask, like, do you know of any Balkan heritage in your background, or is this complete transmogrification on your part?
I have absolutely zero Balkan heritage. I don't look Balkan. Like, any person, anytime they're like famous actors or people who look like me, it's all people from the British Isles. No, I'm pretty much mostly, I mean, yeah, mostly British, which would be Scottish and English. I mean, that those two groups mixed and mingled so much in America. So it'd be like, I think 60%, and then a quarter Irish. I'm a quarter Irish.
Quarter Irish, is that the Catholic or the Scotch Irish?
That's Catholic Irish. Scots Irish is such a bad term because most Americans don't accurately note their ethnicity, as I've pointed this out a lot. And this is very much annoying, is that the supposedly biggest ethnic group in America is Germans, and it's not Anglos yet. You know, at least a plurality, if not a slight majority of whites, trace their ancestry back to colonial days, and that would technically be mostly Anglo. But they all say German because no one calls themselves English American or British American or Scottish American.
Yes.
They just choose whatever's the most exotic. And so for a lot of Scots Irish, they think that they're Irish. So they select Irish on the census. And for a lot of people who are only like a quarter German, but mostly British, they'll select German American. And this happens with a lot of people. They just choose whatever sounds different, or they just call themselves an American.
The real race in America is always the religion. You know, Scotch Irish fall in the Protestant race, and the real Irish, they fall in the Catholic race. And I was told that you have some Catholic history, don't you?
Like, yeah, I was raised Catholic.
Yeah, so I was wondering, like, what is your denomination? Because, like, I'm starting to suspect that you're a neo-pagan in disguise.
Whoa, what? Where would that come from? Well, I'm still technically Catholic.
Yeah, I mean,
the church says I'm Catholic, so.
Well, you know. I'm not listening to, you know, I'm a Lutheran, so I don't care what the bishop says. I want to hear what the man says, what the man believes,
what the bishop says. So no, I would say no. A non-practicing Catholic would be the best way to say.
Oh, really? Is that where you stand? I actually, because you are always talking in the group chat about the Oaks and returning to the Oaks. Hugging the Oaks, and I'm starting to suspect that you have like a big oak tattoo somewhere on your body. Like, can you deny that?
You know, there could
that?
Be. I can't, but I can't reveal any information about the
exactly.
Oaks. The oak power. But mm-hmm. No, that would be
a lapsed Catholic who has fallen into the arms of the neo-pagan racists on Twitter. Many such cases.
I don't think there's that many cases, to be honest with you, of that, but. No, I can't. The more thing I'm outraged by is that I'm supposedly Balkan. I have zero Balkan ancestry.
Well, you know, I do this not is what Scandinavians see when they look at you. You know, they're trying to place you somewhere in the European map. Who do you look most like? Because in Northwestern Europe, hair is as coal black as yours, unless you color it, which, you know.
My hair is not coal black. It's brown.
Well, I'm looking at pictures of you right now.
And you got the wrong pictures, man. My hair is dark.
I've got several pictures here, and they're pretty, hair's pretty black. I can't find any color in it. You know, maybe it looks different. Maybe it looks different in real life, but on all the colors, it's black as coal. But I'm not one to judge. I'm just trying to be scientific about it.
Yeah, I think Scandinavians are just, you know, there's a lot of code posting there. Yeah, we don't have
hair colors like that in Scandinavia. That's what.
Do you guys not know what the British Isles look like? That pretty much everyone there.
No, we don't see. We don't really see that many people look like you from Britain. Or at least I have never. I've not really seen that many. Maybe it's because there is a phenotype difference between people in America and people in Europe. You can really tell. You can really tell that a person
that is
from America by their face. And there's lots of theories about this. There's theories about magic soil. And there's theories that, you know, there's the gut bacteria that changes how your face evolves. Because there's a very, typical American face. So these are always, our predictions are always thrown off a little by this. Because there is no exact equivalent of an American face in Europe. They unfortunately do not look alike, so we have to go for the second best thing, like the shape of the nose or the hair color or the way they talk. You understand what I'm saying.
So but, you think I'm Scott Grierovich?
Yes, Scott Grierovich.
I've never been called of being Balkan, nor have I ever. Whenever I see Balkan, and there's like something like they look strangely foreign. I'm not. No, I am. I am tall. I am 6'2", so maybe I wouldn't fit in among the Croats. But no, zero. I actually have zero Slavic ancestry. Northwestern Europe.
Well, it might just be that there's some transmogrification going on with you being, you know, raised Catholic, and that, you know, magically transforming you.
Yeah, it makes me more Mediterranean. Like a Catholic,
Mediterranean, exactly. And that's like throwing off my radar.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have to look into this on a later episode. But any other questions, Blood, before we go to the patron?
Yeah, I'd like to hear what's your, you know, favorite racist symbol, the swastika or the Iron Cross, or do you like any of those pagan symbols? What's your favorite? And do you have any of these tattoos on your body?
I have no racist tattoos.
No,
no tattoos.
Oh, wow. The guys in the Nordic resistance.
This guy is, you know, you're like the SPLC over here. You're like, you're secretly a Nazi. You got this. All right, so that's enough for your questions. You know, I think our patron questions are a lot better because they're much more accurate than the Scandinavian chat. Accusing me of being Balkan, which is a lie, a gross lie. But moving on, but this is it's Halloween season. It's you know, getting very spooky out here. It's getting spooky in Finland when it's actually nighttime at like what, 4 p.m. now?
Yes, at 4:30 is sundown now. It's gonna be dark for the rest the coming like 12 hours until the sun rises again.
So it is spooky season officially. And with that, we have a very spooky question, or rather a highly spooky question from one of our listeners at the highly respected Patreon. This one comes from Mr. Anonymous. He asks, Scott, what are your favorite horror movies? I like all the classics, mainly from the 70s and 80s. I would probably say the original Halloween, original Dawn of the Dead, original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, original Suspiria. I mean, they always remake these movies. Those are some quick favorites. Blep, what's your favorites?
I've been meaning to get around seeing The Exorcist, and I still haven't seen it. I've been wanting to see it, but I like those. What's it called? Paranormal Activity. I used to look at horror movies when I was like 18, 17, 18, 19 years old. It's many years ago now. So I don't really look at horror movies anymore because I feel like I've seen them all and they don't scare me anymore. But I really, really got into all of these American sort of ghost movies and possession movies that came out around 2010-ish. And those were really good. What was it called again? The one with the haunted house came out around 2000.
There's like several with the haunted house. Oh, the Conjuring. Know.
Yes, that's the one because it's the most famous one, at least from the area. And that one I really liked. I thought it was really creepy and cool. And I've never gotten around to seeing the old ones because by the time I had seen all the modern ones, I thought that this is good, but I kind of like get the gist of them, right? I know that there's a spooky setup, and then there's like a creepy setting, and then it's like, boo, here's the ghost, and it's like, oh, and then you
oh,
know,
no.
the ghost, and then the ghost goes away, and then, you know, then it's
well, yeah, the ghost. Well, sometimes the ghost doesn't go away. Sometimes the ghost or the evil spirit wins. But you also had some takes knocking highbrow horror movies, or the art house horror movies, and I actually agree with them. Is that there'll be like a long this is a very popular trend right now. You're seeing this with Hereditary, Midsommar, The Lighthouse. There's a bunch of others that are in a similar way. The new Suspiria, which came out, I think, 2 years ago, it's not full of jump scares, and it's like long distance like shots, and no, it's like 3 hours long, and it's mainly about this person just whining the whole time and having a mental breakdown. So, I mean, I watched Midsommar recently. It was okay, but at the end, it was like 3 hours long.
I've not watched it because I just heard reviews, people who've watched it, and people telling me sort of like, what's it about? And I cringe.
Well, they are out in the Oaks in Midsommar. This is an important point.
Because it's a person who doesn't understand the culture he's making. When I'm from that culture, this is a cultural and racially alien person who is from the outside looking in and seeing like, oh, scary white people. Ah, they're doing white people things in the Oaks. And it's so creepy. And you know, I'm cringing very hard because it's a very bastardized version of anything in the movie, everything from the traditions to the way how people act, it comes across as very much parody like. And I've only watched like short clips and had a synopsis of the movie explained to me, and told my
friend. Well, it is accurate. The Scandinavians are going out of their way to respect women in the movie and letting women run them around. So in some ways, it's an accurate depiction of Scandinavian
culture.
That's
creepy. Yeah, it's definitely creepy in that way. It's I really don't know what to say about this movie other than, you know, it's a very, very, you know, cringy. You know, it's like I don't know. Imagine if a person who's never been in America and never met Americans in real life tried to make a horror story of Thanksgiving and there are, you know, ghosts in cowboy costumes walking around saying, yippee-ki-yay.
That would be based. And yeah, actually, maybe, like, you should do that. I mean, that you've never been to America. Well, it's almost as creepy as someone who's never been to America deciding who's going to win the American election.
Yes, but the creepy thing is if the outside guy gets the prediction right, because it tells you something about maybe you are the one who's being gaslit, Mr. I don't believe Kansas is going red this season, Mr. I don't believe my Serbian blood is telling me that.
First off, I've never said that Kansas is not going red, and I am not a Serb. The Serbs got mad at me this year. I had some tweet dunking on Serbs for always wanting handouts and not, like, kind of being a. Anyway, I had some tweet that they were, like, bragging about their China alliance. It's like, your jazz is just, like, sucking up to China, and you always lose every war. And the Serbs got very mad at me. So, no, I am not Serbian. There is no Serbian blood. There's no Slavic blood in the Greer line. But, you know, better horror movies. Rather than watching these pretentious, pompous, art house horror movies, you guys should watch these three movies instead, which I always say that they're enjoyable watches. They're, anytime you watch them, they're really entertaining, and they're just, like, mindless fun. I would say Friday the 13th Part 6, which is a horror comedy. Halloween 4, really good one there. Lots of good scenes. And of course, Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, which has an incredible soundtrack from Dokken, one of the greatest hair metal bands there. And Dokken even made an incredible song for the movie called Dream Warriors. And you should absolutely listen to that song right now after finishing listening to this podcast. And if you don't listen to it, I'm going to find you and bad things will happen. You are not going to be allowed in the Dream Warriors. And I think it's an inspirational theme song for what's happening in this election. You know, we're haunted by these evil poll shamans who are telling us that, you know, Trump's going to lose. They're haunting our dreams. They're trying to kill our spirit. And there's nothing we can do against them. But if you join the Dream Warrior team and dream and think that Trump is going to win, you can be a part of the team. So I want to say that, listeners, don't be a black pillar. Don't be, you know, like a contrarian, like, I'm contrarian Cassandra. I know what's going to happen. You guys won't listen. Don't be like that. Be a dream warrior. Stand up against the poll shaman. Stand up against the Biden crime family. Stand up against the libtard media. You just got to believe in yourself and appeal to the power. So listen to that song. Listen to it on repeat. Also listen to the Voy a votar por Donald Trump. Just listen to those two songs and repeat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this song is epic. Of course, I'm sure every listener has already listened to it. The Hispanic theme song for voting for Trump. Absolutely listen to that. So listen to those two songs and repeat, and Trump will win. And that is my concluding thoughts for today. So, Blep, any final words before we go?
You're going to see such a Latino wave for Trump at the end of this. We're not going to remember that there's a P at the end of his last name. It's just going to be Donald Trump.
Donald, there's not a D at the end of his first name either. Donald Trump.
Yeah. P at his the end of his name. Donald Trump. That's just all that we're going to hear from now on. And we're going to see the big Castizo shift. That's the future of America, Castizo power, or at least it's going to slowly become more and more like Brazil with cool Bolsonaro and based Latinos. That's my prediction.
Oh, we'll have to see. But as always, it's great to have you on, Blep. And you can follow him on Twitter at BlepSama. So, Blep, great to have you on. We'll have to see you back.
Thank you. I'll be back anytime.
And you're welcome. And until next time, Dream Warriors, stay respected.